Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Warehouse Foursquare Church in Astatula, Florida. Here at the Warehouse, we believe that the Word of God is much more than just information. It's been given to us for transformation. So take the next few moments as you listen to this message and receive what God has for you today.
Advantage Visiting Team. That's the title of the message today. Advantage Visiting Team. Now, have you ever heard the word home court advantage? Whenever they've used the phrase, rather, home court advantage. How many of you heard of that? Home court advantage. When they say they have the home court advantage, what are they talking about? Well, when someone has a home court advantage, what they're saying is they're on their own turf. The crowd is going to be with them. Whether they win or whether they lose, most of the time the crowd is with them, cheering them on. You can do it. And they know on the basketball court where the bad spots are so they don't dribble the ball there. They know on the field where the soft spot is after it's rained, and so they try to stay away from those. You understand what I'm saying? See, they understand and they know their turf because they practice on it all the time. So they got the home court advantage. Now, the opposite is true for the visiting team. When I was in high school anyways, whenever the visiting team came out on the court, I would be one to boo them. I would yell and scream, boo! When they tried to make a foul shot, we'd scream and holler, try to distract them. When they try to kick, a field goal, we try to do everything we can to make them feel uncomfortable and not welcome. How many know what I'm talking about? How many would admit that you did it as well? Bless the name of the Lord. So we boo the visiting team. Now, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2 and 11 and then makes reference again in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 13. It refers to the Christian, those who have accepted Christ, as strangers and pilgrims. People who, you get the idea that we're just kind of people who are passing through. So that would kind of make us be the visiting team. Would you agree with me? Those of us who are strangers and pilgrims, he said we have a land that's over on the other side of glory, we like to say. And that term, visiting team, would reply to us, strangers and pilgrims. And if you have lived at all this past week, then you would agree with me that the visiting team has had some booing this week. Some folk who have booed when we've walked into the room. Maybe not out loud. But their actions have booed us, and we have an adversary who has the home court advantage, the devil. And guess what? He's doing everything that he possibly can to cause us to fail. He's doing everything he possibly can to cause us to lose. And I mean, even so much so that the Bible says in Romans 10 and 10 that the thief or the home team, our adversary, comes only to steal, kill, and to destroy. What he can't kill, he will try to take from you. What he can't take from you, he will try to destroy and leave you with a mess. That's his job. Steal, kill, and to destroy. So Jesus, knowing that we were pilgrims and strangers or the visiting team, knowing that we were just passing through, I guess, the visiting team, he wanted to help us out. And aren't you glad that Jesus wanted to help us out? He understood because he has faced the enemy himself. And he understands the veracity, if you will, of how the enemy will try to come against us and will try to hurt us and try to destroy us and take things from us. He understood that. And so he didn't just want to even the playing field. But the goal that Jesus Christ had when he came back to the earth was to give us, the visiting team, the home court advantage. Now, are you in John 16? And verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Isn't that good when folk tell you the truth? How many have been lied to? You've been lied to. Come on. And you've gone on that word. And guess what? You got burnt. Right? So this is Jesus talking. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? He said, it is to your advantage, McKee, for me to go away. Because if I don't go away, then the Comforter will not come. But I will go to the Father, and I will send back the Comforter to you. What a blessed hope that we have. The Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? The home court advantage. Look at your neighbor and say, we got the home court advantage. Now, some folk say that Jesus was just a good man. He was a storyteller. He had some good things to say, but that was it. Messiah? No way. He was just a good man. There's folk who say that the Holy Ghost is also this elaborate hoax made up by folk with great imaginations. You ever met some of them? That this thing is all just made up by a bunch of weaklings with a big imagination who can't really live in the reality of life and in this world. I've met other folk who believe that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, as recorded in the second chapter of Acts, but that experience was strictly for them. It's not a necessary in the life of a Christian. It was back then, the gifts of the Spirit. All those things were back there, but it's not for today. I've met folk who even go to the extreme who say those who use the gifts, those who are involved in this, are from the devil. They're cultish, and they're straight from the devil. I've talked to folks like that, and I've heard them preach against the gifts of the Spirit and against the move of the Lord. But being the visiting team, I'm sure that you can agree with me that we have found it to be our advantage to know and not only know but to love, and not only to love but to submit and to serve Jesus Christ. We found it to be to our advantage to believe in the Word of God, that it is the holy inspired Word of the Lord. We found it to be our advantage to believe that the Word of God is powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It can even divide the soul asunder. I mean, it can split where no knife can go. And it does it with excellence. You say, man, how in the world do they know that about me? How in the world can he see that? It's because the Holy Spirit has a big magnifying glass and knows the thoughts and the intent. Not just what you're thinking, but the motivation behind your thought. Wow. And loves you anyway. We have found it to be to our advantage as the visiting team to believe in Jesus Christ, that he was truly born of a virgin. Tim, he lived a sinless life. He truly did die on a cross. He truly on the third day rose from the dead. And he is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now interceding for you and for you and for you and for me. We have found it, see, to our advantage to believe these things. As the visiting team, we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. You better be ready. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. And to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with our Lord. Can you say amen? We have found it to our advantage to believe in the Holy Spirit, as recorded in Acts chapter 2. We have found it to be in our advantage to work and to operate within the realm of the Holy Spirit. For the Bible says that the Holy Spirit is the empowering agent, if you will, to go out and to reach the lost and to be effective in our lives. It's to our advantage. What are you talking about? Home court advantage. You're the visiting team. When you compare 60, 70, 80, 100 years, you could live to be 400 years old and bless God for you. But listen, that's only a small portion as to eternity. We need the Holy Spirit on our side, helping us during that time, because that short speck of time will determine where you and I spend eternity. And that is the most important thing that we have in our power today, is to choose God. Home court advantage. Can you say amen? Because we do have the home court advantage, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Hallelujah. It is power, folks. You may not understand it. I don't understand how power comes from a nuclear plant to my house. And when I flip the switch, it comes on. But I'm thankful for it. And I take advantage of that power every opportunity that I need it to. I don't understand how the Holy Spirit, I can't see him, but yet he is in me. I don't understand all that he can do, but yet I walk and I talk him all the chance that I can, and I see his benefit in my life. It's to my advantage to have the Holy Spirit operating in my life. We should not have to say we're charismatic or Pentecostal or a combination of the two. That experience that he talked about in Acts chapter 2 should be evident in our homes. It should be evident in our everyday lives, when we're on the job, when we're driving down the road, when we're standing in line at the movie cinema. It should be evident in our lives that we are baptized in the Holy Ghost with fire. Amen. You shouldn't have to tell folk we're a Pentecostal church. It should be evident in our services. You see, the Lord told me here a while back, I just felt an impression in my heart that the Holy Spirit is not just a casual option. Like when you go to the restaurant and you decide, well, I'll have the chicken instead of fish. Some folk treat the Holy Spirit that way. That's why he is grieved and he just moves away. You are not forced into worship. You are not forced into paying your tithes. You are not forced to walk through those doors and to come to church. You are not forced to live for Christ. It is your option. And if we're going to live successfully in 2008, then we cannot treat the Holy Spirit as a casual option that we check off like chicken or fish, but we need to look at the Holy Spirit as essential in my life if I'm going to be effective to reach my family for Christ, if I'm going to be effective to reach my community for Christ, and if I'm going to be successful in 2008, then I need the Holy Spirit in my life. Even though we may be the visiting team and we have an adversary that will do everything he can to destroy us, if we are in Christ, just like the song that Dad sang, even the valley is higher. Why? It's because we are in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that we are in Christ. In 2008, everything may not be good, but we know the Word of God says that He has the ability to make everything turn out for the good to those who love Him, to those who walk according to His purpose, and to those who are called to a higher calling. Is that you this morning? Bless the name of the Lord. We need the Holy Spirit working and operating in our lives and in our services in 2008. It's vital to our success. How is this going to happen? John 3 and 30, it says, He must increase, but I must decrease. So number one, in 2008, God must increase and I must decrease. What does that mean? There's things that we face. There's just things in our lives, normal things that happen, that if we're not careful, bitterness can get in. And hurt can get in. Hurt turns to bitterness so quickly, we don't even catch it sometimes. Destructive habits and things that we know we shouldn't be doing, but we do anyways. Works of the flesh, I believe it's Galatians chapter 5, talks about works of the flesh. See, all these things, they push out the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so when the writer said that he must increase and I must decrease, he's talking about those fleshly things that's in our lives, that they have to be pushed out. And our spirit man, with the Holy Spirit's help, must continue to grow. Fear, disobedience, all these things. So to increase the effectiveness of the Holy Spirit in our lives, those hindrances need to be removed. Now many teach that as we grow in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit grows in us. And I understand what they're trying to say. But when you say that, you give a wrong perception of the Holy Spirit. It makes it look like because you are doing something, that the power of the Holy Spirit grows inside of you. And that is far from the truth of the Word of God. Hear me. The Bible says that I am the Lord God and I change not. Malachi 3 and 6. He doesn't change. I like this scripture. Psalm 145 and 3. Great is the Lord. Not he's becoming great in you. He's growing strength in you. We have a wrong perception of the power that we have inside of us. It's like a little child growing, and as it grows in strength and power. That is not true. The Holy Spirit is all powerful. Let me tell you something. You have power inside of you that if you'll tap into it, you'll change the world. He says this, Psalm 145, "Through great is the Lord," present tense, "and most worthy of praise, and his greatness no one can fathom." When you got saved, you received all the power you'll ever get. You need to chew on that for a while. We have a perception that as we go, this power will increase. That is not true. What happens is, as we grow in Christ, we begin to see the fear, the disobedience, the things that's stopping the flow of the Holy Spirit through us to be effective to those we come in contact with. That's where the hindrance is. It is not in His lack of power, if you will, but it is in our ability to allow Him to flow through us into those we come in contact with. And so the works of the flesh will hinder that power, that effectiveness, if you will, in our lives. So God must increase and we must decrease. Can you say amen? He said in Luke 10 and 19, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. He didn't say you'll get power as you go and more power and more power and more power. He said, I give you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Power, the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God in you does not increase with strength. What increases is our understanding of that empowerment or that power, if you will, which increases its effectiveness in our lives. A great example of this is Philemon chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul's desire was this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you, already in you, in Christ. What is he saying? Here's the nutshell. The more you know Christ, the more you understand and grow in grace and grow in his knowledge, the more effective you become with the tools and the power that already are inside of you. Bless the Lord. That's why we study the Word of God. That's why we steal away and have our devotion time. That's why we come on Wednesday night and we dig into the Word and we try to learn more and we try to receive more. We open ourselves to the Word of God because the more we know, the more effective we'll become, the more insight we have. I believe more creativity will come the more we submit ourselves to God. He will give us creativity in areas that we never even imagined that we would be used in, but we'll not only be used in it, but we will be doing it with excellence because we have acknowledged the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So to be more effective with the power of the Holy Spirit and the increase of the flow of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our lives and in our services, that we need to decrease. The Lord needs to increase. So that's what I want in 2008. I want us to increase in our devotional time with God. We need more uninterrupted time to just meditate on the Lord, meditate on His Word, to think on His goodness, and to just to soak in His presence, just quiet time. I mean, we've gotten to such a pace where we just couldn't even imagine taking the first half hour of our day to just completely submit ourselves to the Lord, not do anything else. Turn the phone off, turn the pagers off, turn the computer off, turn the lights off, and just stay hidden away. Tell the kids to leave me alone. Tell the husband to get away. Tell the wife I'm not ready just yet. I need that time just to quietly be before my King and my Lord. We need more uninterrupted time, quiet time with God. So God must increase and I must decrease. The second thing, stir up the gift of God that is already inside of us. You need to understand that you have things inside of you that God placed in there. Before the foundations of the world, He knew what was going to be inside of you. And the second you were put here, it's there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. Man, what a word. Hallelujah. He has not given us a spirit of fear, but of a sound mind. Isn't that what the word says? Power, love, and a sound mind. There's that power again. Already given. He said, stir up the gifts. Have you ever made a pot of stew? Every so often I get in the mood for beef stew. So we'll run out to the garden. We call our garden Walmart. I'll pick me some carrots. I'll pick me some potatoes. And you cut all that stuff up. I'll go out to the butcher shop and I'll pick me a nice ribs or what do they call it? stewed beef, yeah. Like that beef loin is good. And you cut all that up and your mouth is watering, you know, you're looking at that and you think, man, this is going to be good. You put it all in the old crock pot and you season it all up with your favorite seasonings. You slap that lid on, you flip that baby on high and you go about your business. 2, 3, 4 hours later, you come back checking on it. You know what I'm talking about. You grab your favorite wooden spoon. You pop that lid and just that smell just comes up out of that crock pot. And you begin to stir all that, and you see, oh, this is going to be good. And it's all bubbly and hot, and oh, it's just good stuff. You know what I'm talking about. How many done that before? Sure. You pull out the old bowl, your favorite bowl. You get that spoon, it's about that big around. Jill comes out with these little spoons, you can't even get it. You know what I'm saying? I say, well, that is not a spoon, that is an irritation. Get me a spoon, please. Yeah. She says, well, I don't eat my food with a shovel. Well, that's all right. Bless the Lord. And you partake of that beautiful beef stew. You had supper. You clean all the dishes up. And you're just kind of going about your business. And you come back. And you pop the top off that crock pot again. What has happened to my beef stew? You look in and there's just all this fat and watered down broth. And it's cold, and it's goopy. And you think, what happened to my stew? The heat was turned off. If we're not careful in our own lives, all those same wonderful things that has been placed inside of us, those gifts and those talents, that power to overcome anything that would come against us, that power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the power of the enemy, if we're not careful, we just get so busy with the cares of this life. We get so busy with paying bills and dealing with family and all these things. And there's nothing wrong with working and there's nothing wrong with all that. But if we're careful, next thing you know, the heat has been turned off. And you know what comes up? We get lazy in the things of God. The fat rises to the top. Are you with me so far? You understand what I'm talking about? Bless the name of the Lord. You see, what we have to be careful of is that we get watered down with the things of life. We have to make sure that we keep them in their place. We have to keep them in their place. So what do? Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not even worthy to bear. And he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. How do I stir up them gifts? Baby, you got to turn the heat back on. Hallelujah. You got to let the Holy Spirit begin to crush down those things that have been causing us not to be effective. And pushing out the doubt and pushing out the unbelief and pushing out the things that are causing us to be separated from the fire of the Holy Ghost to just begin to stir that stuff back up. And next thing you know, everything's back in place. All bubbly, hot, and delicious. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Church, we need the fire of the Holy Ghost. That fire will cause us once again to be hungry for the things of God. So we have the home court advantage if we're in Christ. So I would like us in 2008 to live like we have the home court advantage. Number 3, live in the advantage. Live in the advantage. Advantages that God has already given to us, we need to live in them. John 16 and 33, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This scripture I love. It says in 2 Corinthians 2 and 14, thanks be unto God who always causes me to triumph. I may not feel like I'm a winner, but in Christ I am a winner. I may not feel like I'm an overcomer, but in Christ I am overcomer. Why? Because he has already defeated my enemy, and I just got to walk it out, turn the fire back on, stir up those gifts that's inside of me, and just be obedient one more time to the tug of the Holy Spirit. Amen. These types of scriptures help us to know our place in Christ and who we are. I encouraged you last year to begin to look up scriptures of being in Christ, in him, through Christ, through him, with Christ, with him, by Christ, by him. If you look up those scriptures, get your concordance. begin to look up these scriptures because those deal specifically with who you are. Come on, is some of that stuff beginning to stir up inside of you? You beginning to remember? For those who are in Christ, there it is, in Christ, all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Hallelujah. Boy, there's a bunch of them that'll tell you what your place is. You want to turn the heat on, begin to know your place in Christ, and I guarantee that you'll go places and you'll do things that you never thought you'd be able to do. Because in Christ, we are more than conquerors.
Hey, just wanted to say thanks for listening to the message today. If you'd like more teaching or information about The Warehouse, you can go to our website at twfcastatula.org. If you've never asked Jesus into your heart, pray this simple prayer with me. Dear God in heaven, forgive me for my sins. Come into my heart. I accept Jesus as my Savior. Amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, let me be the first one to say welcome to the family of God. And make sure you go to our website, get our contact info, and email us or call us. We want to send you a Bible, some information about your new life in Christ, and what you need to do next. We also want to help you find a church where you can get plugged into and grow in Christ. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace.